We come today to a study of the book of 2 John. The book of 2 John is a short letter. It is a brief epistle, but it is a letter that is rich in meaning. Bible books don't have to be long to be powerful. As a matter of fact, the Bible as a whole is not as long a book as many other books that have been written. There are many books that are much longer than the Bible, but the Bible contains more truth and has more power than all the books of men that have ever been written. So this book shouldn't be neglected, and it certainly shouldn't be omitted from our reading just because this is a short book. There are books of the Old Testament and the New Testament that are short that are sometimes overlooked in Bible study. For instance, the book of Obadiah in the Old Testament, and the books of Philemon and Jude and 2 and 3 John are oftentimes neglected by Christian people. So as we begin this study of 2 John, let's point out some similarities between 2 John and 3 John. Both of these are short epistles. Both of them are written from the elder, that is, John himself. Notice 2 John, verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady. And then 3 John begins in verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. The elder here being John. Evidently, he was an older man at this time. Now, it is true that Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, said that he was an elder, that is, an elder in the church, a man who was in the position or the office of being an elder in the church. But evidently, John is simply talking about the fact that he was an older man, and so he refers to himself as the elder, that is, the elderly one, in this verse. The book of 3 John was written to a man, that is, Gaius. The book of 2 John was written to the elect lady. He says in 2 John, verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. There are two views of this elect lady. Some people think this is symbolic and that it refers to the church, perhaps a particular congregation. The other view is that the lady here is literally, actually, a Christian woman that John knew, and that John is writing to her as the elect lady. The word elect, of course, is a word that is applied to Christians many times in the New Testament. And so that view would say that John is writing to this Christian woman, whoever she was, and to her children who were Christians as well. Nothing is said about her husband. Now, either way, what John teaches here is the same. So regardless of whichever one of those views that you lean toward and have an opinion about, the teaching of John about Christian people and their responsibilities is the same. What we find then is that he begins in verse 1 with two familiar words, that is, love and truth. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. I love her and I love her children in the highest sense of brotherly love. I love her in the truth. And that means in harmony with and according to the truth of God's word. The truth is God's word. John 17, verse 17 says, "Thy word is truth." So John loved these Christians the way that God said to love each other. And notice that John says, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. All they that have known the truth refers to other Christians. So there were other Christians that knew this elect lady and her children. They respected and loved this elect lady and her children. It was not just John who was impressed, but these other Christians honored this elect lady and her children as well. Now, beginning in verse 2, John says, for the truth's sake, that is, for the sake of the truth, in behalf of the truth, and because of the truth of the gospel, which dwells in us and shall be with us forever. One thing that you'll notice in the New Testament and here in the writings of John is that the new covenant, this new revelation from God in the New Testament, is referred to in different ways. There are many expressions in the New Testament for the new covenant. For instance, here John is referring to the new covenant as the truth, and that's common throughout the Bible. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth about what? Well, you can have the truth about many things. You can have the truth about what a man paid for an item when he bought it. You can have the truth about the weather that happened yesterday. But the truth that he's talking about is the truth that came from God, that is, the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says that we purify our souls by obeying the truth. So the truth is one of those many expressions in the Bible to refer to the new covenant. Now, there are many other words that do the same. For instance, the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul said, "Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel." Sometimes this message is called the faith. A great number of the priests became obedient to the faith. Acts 6, verse 7. Sometimes it's called the word. Preach the word, Paul said. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Sometimes it's called the New Testament. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, that Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament. Sometimes it's called the doctrine. In Romans 6, verse 17, the Bible says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." And you'll find that throughout this section, John uses some of these terms to refer to this revelation. In verse 2, he goes on to say that the truth dwells in us and shall be with us forever. And then in verse 3, he gives this greeting, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father," again, he says, "in truth and love." You find so many times that John uses these simple, clear words that are absolutely profound in their meaning. Now, let's notice verse 4. John said, "I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." John was very encouraged that these Christians were walking in truth. This is always encouraging to hear that other Christians are faithful to God. It's always discouraging to hear that Christians have gone astray. But John says, "I'm rejoicing because your children are walking in the truth." That is, they are faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ in their Christian life. And he not only says, "I rejoiced," he says, "I rejoiced greatly." And that reminds us of what he is going to say in the book of 3 John, because in the book of 3 John, he says in verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Walking in truth is the same as walking in the light of God's word, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, where the Bible says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So in verse 4, he says we have this commandment from the Father. And in verse 5, he says, "I'm not giving you a new commandment, but an old commandment." Verse 5, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." Now, this is very similar to what John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, where he said, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. John is writing along the same lines here in the book of 2 John. John says, you have known from the beginning that you should love one another. And he's teaching that same truth here. In verse 6, we have a very interesting passage of Scripture that also shows, as John showed in the book of 1 John, that loving God means doing what God said. Notice verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Does that remind you of 1 John chapter 5, verse 3? That's where John said, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So according to the Bible, when we ask the question, what does it mean to love God? And what is love according to the Bible? It is not just some kind of feeling. It is not just some kind of talk. The love of God means that we walk after His commandments. Which commandments? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, verse 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And now listen to verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even to the end of the world. So John says, this is love. He defines it for us here. So there is no way that a person today can rightly take the Bible and say that love does not include keeping the commandments of God. There's no way that a person can define love and leave out obeying the commandments of God. He goes on to say, this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. John says, you have been taught this from the beginning of your Christian life, and you are to continue in that kind of teaching. In verse 7, John said, for many deceivers are entered into the world. He's talking about people in error, and he's talking about these false teachers. Notice, John says, many, not some, not a few, but many deceivers are entered into the world. That's what he said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. He said that many false prophets are gone out into the world. Here, he repeats the same. He says, many deceivers are entered into the world, and these deceivers, he says, confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the false doctrine that John talked about in the book of 1 John. This is the heresy that we call the Antichrist doctrine. That was the doctrine that said that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, that He did not have a body that was physical, that He was not flesh and blood in any sense. And John says this person is a deceiver and an Antichrist. And so here we come to the last passage in the New Testament that uses the word Antichrist. And the book of 2 John is the only other book in the Bible that uses that word other than the book of 1 John. And what John has done is to commend these Christian people for holding on to the truth. And what he's about to do in the next verses is to tell them to hold to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.